mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 445. I'm Adam, and what is this horrendous place? And here's Kirby Bartlett's loan.
Operate the blue switches.
Debbie Melrose.
Turlo!
Mary Lang.
Let's part as friends.
And Nicole Mazza.
Charm, the way I use it, is to disagree agreeably.
Very good. And the other one I was going to go for was, what happened? I don't know. Because that was said several times during the story. Yes, we're going to be talking about Terminus today.
Master?
Oh, God, I nearly got to the end of that sentence. Yes?
I'm surprised no one did. We're on a leper ship. We're all going to die.
Oh, my God.
I almost did that. That's even in my podcast, but I was this is not the time.
Oh, that was the most cringeworthy sort of, what would you call it, cliffhanger, I suppose, I've ever seen. It was, yeah, and that hair with it as well. Yeah, so Terminus is our subject of, what do you call it today? So, here we go. Oh, by the way, welcome to the show, Nicole. I do ask you on air what you think you're letting yourself in for.
Well, I'm slightly afraid, but also slightly excited. So yes. I think it should be fun.
Yes, you need to be. Be afraid. Yeah. Be very afraid. Don't worry. I can Kirby up from the chat. Yes, Kirby?
Shouldn't we introduce her, like, with her podcast and everything?
Well, you can drop hints about your podcast throughout the episode, Nicole.
Just keep, like, leaving little bits of information.
Yeah, you can segue. Find ingenious ways of segueing it throughout the show.
Did you say singing it?
No.
Segway,
Debbie Melrose hadn't spoken over that
very
bit.
Awkward.
Yes. Right then, so let's get on. It's going to be Terminus. I'm just waiting for it to load because I've got my DVD thing just loading up. Right there, so the episode begins with some twitchy schoolboy wandering around the TARDIS corridors, holding his jacket and looking up to the lighting and trying to get some inspiration because obviously he's been spoken to by the very camp and deep-voiced Valentine Dial, I think his name is. And Lillian Robbins says hello.
Hello.
Anyway, so so he's told by the Black Guardian to open up one of the roundels. And I did have a look at this roundel to see if it did look any different to the other roundels in regards to being blatantly, obviously removable. And actually did quite a good job in hiding that fact. And then some very 80s electronics are shown behind this particular roundel.
You would think that the Doctor would be a little more modern.
You would, wouldn't you? And then a very suspicious Tegan wanders around the corridor, still wearing the same clothes that she's been wearing the last few episodes.
He spends the whole of this story just going, Turlo!
Yes. And in fact, she's wearing white and it hasn't, you know, they've been crawling around conduits and stuff like that, and she hasn't put a mark on any of these clothes. It's quite remarkable. So.
I wondered that myself. Not only should those clothes stink by now, but they should be pretty dirty.
Anyway, so Turlo's sort of been told once again he must destroy the Doctor or else. But Tegan takes him to his new room, which is was Adric's old room, apparently, with the triangular wall decorations. And quite a lot of plumbing appears to be around the walls.
And quite master.
And quite master. No, he's not in there.
master. And quite a number of old props.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was a bit of a treasure trove, wasn't it? Including the Kinder sort of necklace thing, which Tegan goes off with. And I thought at the time, judging, you know, what she's been through in the last couple of stories with Snake Dance and that, why she would want to take that away as a trinket was a bit of a mystery.
Maybe unless she's going to destroy it.
No, I reckon what it is, she's thinking there might be a big finished story relating to the Mara that she can be in later, so she just took it away for those reasons. So then Tegan goes in to see Nyssa, who's played by Sarah Sutton, who's struggling to find the energy to do any acting in this particular story. Mary's phone's just gone off again.
Yes, I'm sorry.
It is a bit of a sort of a regular theme of the show, Mary's phone going off at some point. We should actually do a little sweepstake, and anybody gets the time closest to when Mary's phone goes off should get points, perhaps.
And, you know, nobody contacts me any other time in the day, but as soon as I get on this podcast, that's when everybody wants to message me.
I could turn my sound on my phone on if that would make me, you know, fit in better.
No.
Mine's off.
Mine's on mute.
Don't be influenced in a negative way. I nearly said that correctly. Right, so a couple of things I did like about this particular scene was the camera angles, the director shooting through all of Nyssa's lab experimental stuff, and the fact that some of the little pits are held together by bulldog clips and things like that. That sort of thing I actually quite liked, even though it's got absolutely nothing to do with the story, but it did rather detract from... I should have asked Sarah Sutton when I met her in Newcastle years ago why that she, when, in the latter sort of period, she couldn't be bothered to act during her time on the show.
Oh, that would not be nice.
No, there might have been a fair reason for it. Anyway, meanwhile, Turlough, who's had a haircut, finds his tap handle, and it's repaired itself, fortunately for him and or for the Black Guardian. I was quite interested every time on the show that Black Guardian, he's on the console room screen, because obviously he's told Turlough to sabotage the space-time element. I'm not too sure they rectified that in this story, because he took it out of the underside of the console, didn't he, the space-time
Master.
Element. Oh, here we go. Yes.
One thing that bothered me, but I'm pedantic that way, is this is theoretically the same unit that they put in, that they took out in Ark of Infinity,
yes,
and then put the one guy put back in,
yes,
but it looks different.
Oh dear!
And it's only been what, two stories?
That bothered you, did it? Did that bother you?
Yes.
No. Okay. Fine. It did. Clearly, it did.
Of
right.
Course it bothered.
So how many minutes did that take? Lauren X says hello from the under of the what? Under of the great hello. From the under the grate. Oh, I see. She's referring to when they were underneath the grate for the whole of the blooming story. Anyway, while Turlough is sabotaging the TARDIS, it makes funny noises and stuff like that, and they go, Doctor! Like the girls tend to do quite a lot in these episodes. And we get some disco lights on the monitor screen. Is it a monitor? No, it's a scanner, isn't it? It indicates that they're in a weird place and the TARDIS is just about to blow up, and Nyssa gets trapped and a door opens and she has to go through it, otherwise she'll get destroyed, and they wonder whether she got through it at all because there's lots of overexposed video, and she finds herself walking through some corridors, and there's a door that's slightly open that wasn't supposed to be there, with is it like a skull? I suppose you sort of skull helmet.
Yes,
thing.
Like skulls.
Yeah. And it's interesting, though, that all the artifacts that are in Nyssa's bedroom, now with the chair that was the White Guardian's chair and the very small bed, and no wonder she had a very small bed, because obviously with all the stuff in her room, you wouldn't really have anywhere to fit it. Anyway, so the Doctor throws a chair in this door that's not supposed to be there to wedge it open. So
that was a good throw. He just sort of really haphazardly threw it off camera and it lands perfectly.
Yes. Master.
Yes.
It took, I believe, 9 takes. Did something it? Like that.
Wonderful. Anyway, the Doctor goes out and has a poke around and tells Tegan and Turlough to stay put.
Stay there.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
But of course, Tegan's Tegan, and Turlough's got a task that he has to go and destroy the Doctor.
This is your last chance.
Yeah, another last chance.
I won't put up with you not doing it anymore.
I'll tell you what, I don't know if anybody noticed this, that the outfit that Sarah Sutton's wearing is quite revealing, shall we say, in regards to it. Must have been quite cold in the studio during some of these scenes. Completely different.
I wondered about that myself. I'm thinking this is keeping John Nathan Turner happy, I guess.
Well, I thought John Nathan Turner battered the other team, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, but he was not about putting some titillating stuff.
For the dads.
For the dads.
I said dads in inverted commas.
Well, I was saying last night to my wife as I was rewatching it, I said I usually don't understand why Nyssa gets undressed and everything, you know, for an in-story reason. And then I thought about, you know, nowadays everybody's just walking around in their pajamas and everything anyway. So now it makes sense. She gets sick and then she gets in her underwear. It just makes sense.
Yeah. Well, she does say that she's really hot. That's why she's true.
Yeah, because she's got a fever. The fever and stuff.
But does she have a dry cough, a continual dry cough with it as well? But I don't know. That was topical, wasn't it? Hang on, my slider's not sliding. Anyway, so the doctor finds, because Nyssa's been wandering around the corridors, and doctor does find Nyssa, and then some space people with the most ridiculous outfits. The helmets they've got are hilarious.
It's for their big 80s space hair. It's perfect.
Very good. Yes?
The helmets are supposedly designed after the 1935 movie Things to Come.
Great. Thank you for that, Kirby. But I thought the other thing interesting about them...
That's what you pay me for.
No, I don't. Shut up. They can't seem to be able to see through the helmets anyway. And the other thing I thought was quite interesting, that obviously there's a hull breach, I suppose you call it, and they seal this hull breach with some of that expanding foam stuff, which really did remind me of the creature, the Horter, in that Star Trek story with the rock thing that Spock mind melds with. What was that called? Day of the Dove?
No,
it wasn't Day of the Dove.
Day of the Dove is a Klingon story. Okay, right.
What's the one?
Devil in the Dark.
Devil in the Dark. Thank you. Yes, it reminds me of that a little bit. Don't know why, I just did. So I thought it was quite funny anyway. As if
foam stuff out in the garage.
Okay, thank you. As if it could actually hold back the vacuum of space. So anyway, I can see Nicole said about it was a whole about the 80s haircuts. It was actually, because when Colin Baker's ex-missus takes her helmet off, her hair is in almost perfect condition for an 80s chick.
It makes sense to me. Yeah. I mean, you didn't want to get all that hair gel all over
exactly.
it.
No, it was perfect helmet for the era, shall we say.
It might as well just be an 80s, her costume, just be a sort of, you could turn up at an 80s night and that would be bang on perfect and you'd win prizes for it. She's got the headband, she's got the 80s makeup, you know, the sort of rainbow makeup around her eyes. She's got the great big doopy collar things and the sparkly sort of waistcoat and the hair.
And the boots. They've got like these really high boots.
It's
a great outfit, isn't it?
It encompasses the 80s in one character, doesn't it?
Very cartoon-like.
And I'm pretty sure that Lisa Goddard was in Skippy the Bush Kangaroo when she was young.
She was everything in my childhood, that woman.
I used to love Skippy.
Everything, you know.
Skippy had some great dialogue. It was... Yeah. Hey, Skippy.
Even I remember seeing that here in the States.
Yeah. But they'd ask him questions and he'd go, and they'd know what he was saying. It's incredible.
Well, it's like people understanding Lassie. Come on.
Yeah. Master.
Oh, God.
Oliver, the other pirate. The space pirates that dress like that. It's crazy. Anyway, Dominic Guard, the actor, he was... He voiced Pippin in the animated Lord of the Rings.
He did.
And his brother was Bellboy in the Seventh Doctor story. What is the one?
Don't know.
Greatest Show in the Galaxy.
Yay. I tell you what, listeners, once you hear Kirby starting a sentence or one of these sort of things, that's the time to go make a cup of tea. Okay, I'm just telling you that. Little tip, I know we're 445 episodes in, but it's just come to me that moment of inspiration. Yeah, so these rather charming 80s pirates, turn up looking fab, especially, like you say, the chap with his ponytail, and he's the one that shouts out at the end of the episode about them being on a leper ship or they're all going to die and stuff like that. Which is, the Doctor...
they call it a Lazar ship, don't they? Because yes. It's Lazarus, you know.
Yes, indeed. Anyway, so the Doctor sort of under duress...
Dominic Guard's wife played Control in Ghostlight.
Did you get your cups of tea, everyone? so the Doctor and Nyssa are being held captive by these pirates while Turlough and Tegan wander the corridors, and Turlough occasionally gets his tablet out and looks to the ceiling and twitches a bit. He's trying to do a deal with the Black Guardian, so he gets back to the TARDIS, but unfortunately bumps into Tegan and has to go along whatever she does. And then I'm just moving forward a little bit because we're still on episode one. I don't want to be. And then some rather skanky looking people.
I can help you stay on episode one.
Shut up! Who don't look very well. Meander past while Tegan and Turlough are underneath, and they, like I say, they do spend a lot of this episode underneath, and that's that point in which that chap says, oh, they're on a leper ship, they're all going to die, and the Doctor's looks really scared. Yes.
You completely skip the point where Tegan is being groped.
By who?
The hands
by the Lazars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought that was a bit inappropriate, Kirby, so I thought I'd skip past that.
Well, the thing is that they had to do that in two takes because during the first take, one of the Lazars did pull her top down.
Accidentally on purpose by the sounds of it.
Yeah. Anyway, some very weird model shots follow while a ship docks onto this Terminus place.
They're not bad for 80s BBC models.
Considering that, you know, it's the third installment at the time of Star Wars was around about this time, it was a bit of a shame. Anyway, so there's lots of cuts between the Doctor doing technical stuff on the bridge, Nyssa sort of feeling a bit ill, and Tegan and Turlough skulking around underneath the...
Why Nyssa gets so badly infected when Tegan's the one that got groped by them?
Well, maybe her social distancing skills weren't particularly good, Debbie. Mm. Okay, that was another little reference that everybody ignored.
Didn't quite understand it.
Yeah.
You were talking over it, that's why. However, the listeners... little tidbit for the listeners. Right then, just moving forward a little bit because there's lots of... Oh, yeah, and then some bloke that... Like you said, did you mention the space pirates, Kirby, earlier on?
Yeah.
Did you mention the space pirates earlier on?
Yes, I did.
You did, yeah. Because the first chap that comes on with a great big tash who looks like Wyatt Earp with a big nose, wasn't he looks like a character from the space pirates. Was he in it?
I don't know.
No, I don't think he was. Just looks like him. So, yeah, he comes in and... with his big cloak, and I was looking at these cloaks and these sort of ribbed body armor that they had, and these rather elaborate.
I thought that was cool.
Pieces. Oh, they were quite cool, but it must have been quite hot and quite difficult to walk around with those scabby-looking cloaks. Another character looks like a goth, doesn't he, from something like Dead or Alive or something like that. But he talks very, very posh. And then you got.
Well, and they wear those things supposedly to protect them from the radiation.
Ah.
They're all piecemeal on them. Yeah, you know, there's lots of exposed. Yeah. You know.
They're always taking their helmets off.
They have to talk by lifting the thing up all the time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'd all talk like the Garm as well. You know, like it would just be an episode, a story of everyone going.
Well, they would just dub over the. The vocal, the speaking, like they would do, with any other sort of costume-bound characters. But there you go. I obviously didn't think of that in this one. Andrew Burt, wasn't it?
That reminded me of, like, the vampires in State of Decay with all the red around their eyes and everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Master?
Yes.
Peter Benson has only been in the one Doctor Who. Yeah. He's most famous for being for playing Bernie Scripps in Heartbeat between 1995 and 2010.
Okay, you can come back from your cups of tea now, everybody. So anyway, moving forward a little bit further, while there's all these shenanigans going on with people turning up on the ship and Nyssa starting to feel unwell, and Colin Baker's ex-missus hanging around with, her new bloke, i.e. the Doctor. And episode two, I'm going to skip through that one because it's a bit... Oh, yeah, and then Nyssa gets sort of taken in by these sort of... What are these people with the sort of cloaks and the sort of ribby armor
the soldiers.
Anyway, they basically, she gets taken in because she doesn't look too bad with her. She's got the illness, but she doesn't look like she's as badly infected as some of the other master.
They say that they take the ones who are least sick first.
Yeah, because at this stage we don't know that the Garm is the thing that's curing them, I suppose, do we?
Speaking of the Garm, where is Magic?
He's in the other room. He may come in. He probably won't. I'll try and get him in at some point, but he won't probably want to stay in here. Give us a chance. I'll get to the end of this episode. And
it's a Garm story. So, you know.
All right, yes, whatever. So anyway, yes, Anissa gets sort of more or less imprisoned by these people and thrown in the cell.
Those pictures that Lillian put up last week,
yes,
of Magic were pretty good.
They were superb, yes. Well done, Lillian. Anyway, so then we see the Garm for the first time. It looks like he's wearing some Krag armor. Do you remember the Krags? I think they were called Krags from Sharda. Okay, I'll carry on then.
Oh,
right,
yes,
then.
Yes, yeah, you're right.
Do I get a bell?
Yes.
Give yourself a bell.
And then there's another shot of Tegan and Turlough underneath, and a shot of a few, what do you call them? Lepers. And
both of the last three episodes of this, they basically just under the grate the whole time.
It was a whole thing. Terry Miles says, good evening, Adam Pearson. Good evening, Terry Miles. And the Doctor and Colin Baker's ex-missus dive underneath a closing door. And then Andrew Burt's character goes in and then threatens the Doctor. He sort of battered, he nearly chokes Lisa Goddard to death, and then he's got to go and kill the Doctor because it's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
So that's the end of episode two, and I'll see if I can acquire a certain.
Oh,
doc.
And Andrew Burt played Gulliver in Gulliver in Lilliput, which was produced by Barry Letts, I believe.
All right. I don't know how I'm supposed to do a podcast.
And Liz Sladen is in that one, too.
Here he is. Oh, dear, there he growls.
He's
growling for you, isn't he? Because he's fierce.
Is he your Garm?
Oh, you smell. Right, go over by the door, mate.
Is Magic the pup? He always
gets
called
Garm. No, he's not going to go by
the door. He sits on Adam's doorstep inside.
Yeah, he doesn't like Kirby's voice. It puts.
Yeah, he gets a bit upset.
Puts him on edge. Back to the episode. Episode three. Sorry, but we have to do this. Episode three. Starts with a recap of the Doctor getting threatened with death. Of course, fortunately for us, he doesn't get done in and remains the fifth Doctor. And doesn't Lisa Goddard shoot the chap who's throttling him, stuns him, so they're able to get away for a bit. And then Then we have some. Nyssa makes friends with a sort of a blonde woman. I think it's a woman with a scabby face and a very strange way of speaking. That's quite. She's talked in a very weird way. But that's the only interesting thing about that. So I'm just sort of glossing through because not a lot's happening in episode 3. Just backwards and forwards, boring conversation. And Tegan and Turlough looking exceptionally bored, which is rather ironic because that's how I was feeling while watching this.
Something that I was curious about, I didn't understand. There were always these announcements about, you know, all personnel clear the area because sterilization is about to begin. And both Tegan and Turlough survive, it appears, 2 levels of this sterilization, but nothing, I mean, it didn't harm them in any way. So I'm wondering, what is this sterilization stuff?
What was it? A little bit of smoke.
Yeah, kind of like in New Earth or whatever when they have the sterilization showers or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just throw smoke at people.
Yeah, and I kind of expected that robot thing to, like, electrocute anything that found or something, and it just kind of sits there.
Yeah.
Until it handcuffs Nyssa.
Oh, so I'm back
and now. Slowly drags her away, and she's like, help, help, and Oliver's just like, all right.
Yeah. Whatever, bye now.
Bye, don't give, go, off you go. Yeah, you're ill, you're dead, bye.
See you later.
Oh, yeah. Lillian Robbins says the garm, and then Laurie Nick says, does a couple of emojis with starry eyes and hearts and stuff. And Alan T. Butcher says, hail the garm. The garm is just wandering back out of shot if you are watching on Facebook. Right, so back to the episode. Do I find anything interesting to report as we skip through?
Yeah, we run across.
Was something quite interesting. The chap with the big nose and the tash somewhere along the line has hurt himself, and his face is all sort of. Bearing of that has on the story, I do not know. And then there's a fight between.
He was trying. Master?
Who was the fight and the master? Wasn't in this story.
Master. Boar was trying to create a radiation barrier.
Oh, and then he hurt himself. He failed, basically.
He failed, yes. And that's how he got burned.
Andrew Burt comes in and has another fight with the doctor with his staff. Looked a bit like Loki's scarf, a little sort of poor rendition of it. And they have a little bit of battle. The doctor hurts his arm during this whole little battle.
Yeah, and he starts holding his arm for the rest of the story, basically.
Yes, he is. Good acting. And then, the Garm turns up. Unlike the Garm in this room, who's just deciding deliberately to sit out of shot at the moment, but when you lot talk later on, I can sit him on my lap for a bit, that might be right. The Garm carries away the injured bloke with the tash, and he's supposed to be unconscious, yet he's holding his arm around the Garm's back, and then Nyssa gets sort of chained to a post, and she gets taken away by the Garm, didn't she, if I remember rightly?
Yes.
And then Turlough and Tegan are still faffing around, boring everybody. Oh, God. Oh, and then Turlough says, I've been trying to kill the Doctor. I haven't seen him yet. Which I thought was quite funny.
I'll only give you one more chance.
Yeah, again. What's happening, Doctor? I don't know. That's all we got for this story. Did anybody notice that? What's happening? It's either I don't know or the doctor will tell you later. There was a very large amount of that. Oh, and I forgot to mention that they're heading for the Big Bang. Apparently this is... The doctor realises they're right at the centre of the universe and...
If it goes bang again, it destroys the universe.
Yes, because... So there... What can you say? So he's a bit worried about this thing that's going to happen, but they're not strong enough to pull the lever to stop everything. They need somebody with superhuman strength. Why don't they ask the Garm? Of course, that's the next episode. Terry Miles says...
The whole thing was kicked off by Turlough accidentally hitting something, and he's causing this second big
So he's doing a fairly good job. So the old Black Guardian's a bully. Terry Miles says he got burnt trying to cut the power cables to the control room. Thank you. Thank you very much, Terry, for clearing that one up. See, Kirby, that's how it's done. Straight to the point.
I am often straight to the point.
Oh, God. Right, where are we going? I was moving through. Oh, yes. Lots of stuff goes off. This is episode 4, by the way. Moving on. Oh, and Turlough manages to find, thanks to the help of the Black Guardian, the door to the TARDIS. And there's that infamous scene of from a very dodgy angle, of Nyssa lying down and the cameraman shooting up her upper legs, shall we say. not the best.
The image that I posted on Facebook.
Yes. I think perhaps it would have been a better idea to swing her legs around to the left and protect her modesty a bit. Inappropriate for me. And then, of course, there's a point in which, like Kirby says, the Black Guardian says, "You have one more chance, boy." And the tap handle glows really brightly.
Not be warned
again. Against it.
You will recover.
Yes.
How many times does the Black Guardian...
I'm very surprised you haven't actually...
How many times the Black Guardian says that you only have one more chance?
Yeah, but I'm very surprised you haven't worked it out, Kirby.
Yeah. You will never get another warning. This is it. He says it.
Yes.
Maybe the bird on his head affects the short-term memory.
It came back from killing Clara.
It's a bit like in Labyrinth. It's that exact sort of the monster that speaks with the little hat on the bird head.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is exactly where I'm thinking they got it from.
Yes. Like I say, they ask the Garm to pull the handle while... And there's another inappropriate thing. The chap from Duran Duran comes flying in. He tries to put his hood up. He's trying to get into the cell where Nyssa is. And not surprisingly, the way Nyssa's lying on the floor, to be fair. And he tries to pull his hood up, and he doesn't quite get over his hair properly.
It's the 80s hair.
And then he comes into the room, trips over Nyssa's legs, and then, because I think she supposedly deliberately did that, and then she just straddles him.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had companions apparently fall in love for less than this, so, you know.
That's very true.
So, yeah.
There's a lot of happy teenage boys watching this.
How on earth that was deemed appropriate? I don't know. Anyway, so she's not only is she rescued, she's also been cured by the Garm and the Doctor, and Colin Baker's ex-missus get the Garm to eventually, after a lot of encouragement, push the handle. Now, while the Garm was struggling to get this and the heat was building up, etc., he was struggling to get this handle across. And the Doctor was saying, "Come on, faster," and stuff like that. I thought, "Well, go and give him a helping hand, you lazy bastards!" Oh, I swore. No, go across. There's two of them there. There's the Garm pushing on his own. Why don't they all go in and give it a pull? But no,
Master.
Oh God, here we go.
Because the Doctor was trying to turn other things off so it would never happen again.
Right, okay. So what was Colin Baker's ex-missus doing at this point?
Standing around.
Yeah.
There we go. Go and give him a hand. Anyway, but he did eventually manage to push the handle up. And he's always very happy and pleased, and he says, "Well, can you do me a favor?" It's a bit like the genie in the bottle thing, isn't it? Free me by breaking that thingy that looks like a remote control from the 1960s.
And then, it was not that he could just throw it on the floor and it would come off.
Right.
Yeah.
It wasn't terribly clear that the Garm was forced to do things because of that.
No,
until
wasn't
right around that scene.
No.
Right. Yeah, he looked pretty
poor. It was like a dog whistle, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm moving forward a bit. And then so after all that, and obviously everything's saved and the Garm's released and everybody's all happy, and they are reunited with Nyssa, and some stuff goes off and blah, 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 blah. And...
Not impressed by the story, are you?
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't
Hang on, I'm just trying to get to the interesting bit. Yeah. So Nyssa decides that she has lots of stuff she could do to help them and stuff like that, so she's not going with them. And then, at that point, Sarah Sutton decides she's going to do a little bit of acting. And everybody gets a bit upset. And even the doctor gets a kiss from Nyssa.
Yeah.
And she says goodbye. And Tegan gets upset. And Turlough, meanwhile, is in the TARDIS, unconscious, because he got nagged to unconsciousness by the Black Guardian.
It did feel like that, didn't it?
He was just bored with the story, so he just went to sleep.
Yeah, so he gets up and says, you'll have one more chance again, boy, and blah, 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 blah. And that's the end of the episode. So, there we go. Right. That was a real struggle, that episode. I mean, I'm not saying I watched them individually, these particular episodes, and I didn't sort of fall asleep or anything, and I didn't feel as if, oh, I don't really want to watch the next one. But it's very difficult to stay enthusiastic about it while watching it. It's a bit, for me, it's like the twin dilemma of the Peter Davison era. What can I say? I don't know. I think we might have. We've reviewed this one before, Kirby?
No, we have not.
Probably
I've
just
never
as well.
Seen this before.
It's, oh, really?
No. Well, I'm going to say it's very difficult for me to be enthusiastic about it.
I think I saw it first time round, but I didn't remember it.
I remember the garm sort of looked a bit dated, the actual costume. But no, it's pretty poor. I think they could have... There's a two-parter in this series, isn't there? They should perhaps have expanded the two-parter and kept this as the two-parter, because it was... I wonder if Alan T. Butcher is going to say it's two episodes too long. It's probably three episodes too long. It's four episodes too long. It's really not very good at all. But it's like, you know, it's Doctor Who, isn't it? You know, it's something to watch if you really have to, like we did, because we had to carry on with the journey. But I'm so pleased I got past it. Yes, sorry, it's not very good. What did you think about it then, Kirby?
I apparently am different from everybody else, because I don't mind this story.
I like it. Like, I don't love it, but I like it.
Well, you need to test after it.
You're not going to get any points deducted for liking it, don't worry.
No, not at all. Everybody's
apart from you, Debbie.
Anyway, yeah, I remember when I first got this story. It was probably one of the first Davison DVDs I got. It was a whole Black Guardian trilogy. And I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit different from other Fifth Doctor stories. It's a little more science fictiony. Yes. Yeah, the costumes are
'80s
disco, but it's not bad.
Is that it? Is that your summing up of the story, which is not very good? It was okay. The costumes are a bit '80s. And it was okay.
I will easily go back and watch this one on my own.
Okay.
Not I have been known to do that. In fact, this past week, I watched it three times.
Blimey.
Well, he's like Mikey. Mikey likes everything.
Oh! Orphan 55.
Do you feel sullied?
Okay,
there?
Then. So it's a meh episode. Is that what you're saying?
It's okay.
It's okay above meh.
It's not the best. It's not the best Fifth Doctor story.
Well, no, it's not the blimmin' best.
Shot. It's not the worst Fifth Doctor story. I'd have to go and look at the list. I have a feeling I know which one is supposedly the worst one, but I haven't seen it yet. The one with the pantomime horse.
Oh yeah, we haven't seen that one yet.
We haven't.
We'll assess that one and when.
And I understand it's pretty horrible.
Don't take what other people say, Kirby. Have you done? Have you done?
One other. Since it's my turn to talk, one other little thing. Yes. You know, my little tidbits. They had the one actor who was the. He was the BBC World Service announcer. Martin Muncaster was doing the Tannoy voice.
Yeah.
And he's credited as Tannoy voice. And the head of the Tannoy Corporation called up J&T and said, hey, Tannoy is not a generic term. You can't just go and call this a Tannoy.
Oh, has everybody got back from making their cups of tea yet? Alan C. Butcher says, it's okay. Sorry, it's okay is high praise indeed. Okay. Right, are you done?
Okay. Yeah, I'm done for now until I remember something else and interrupt someone else.
Oh, God. Nicole, what did you think of it?
You know, it, as I said, it's not a favorite of mine, but I actually enjoyed it more rewatching it. It was darker, as I was saying on my Facebook, because of, you know, what's going on in the world right now.
Yeah.
But I think the Garm is actually kind of cute.
He is,
and
imagine.
And I like, Nyssa does two things in this that I really like. One is I like when she is in her lab in her room because, you know, she actually shows some intelligence. And then also, I actually really like her leaving. She's like, no, look, I can help here. Let me do something good. Like, I feel like her leaving is, I mean, not like her leaving the show is great, but I mean, her exit is a good exit for that character. So I do like that. But there are a lot of scenes that just sort of go on and on. I did actually watch it at, like, where you can watch it, like, 2x speed. Which made it actually funnier, especially the fight scenes.
So, yeah, that's what I tried to do just a minute ago, but there you go.
Yeah, and it's just, that's good. So it's definitely, it's one I don't mind. A lot of people think I love it because of my podcast title, and they don't get this double reference. but yeah, I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. It's not my favorite Fifth Doctor story, but it's a good one.
Well, Nicole, I have a question for you.
Ooh.
Okay.
What motivated you to name your podcast Terminus?
That's the segue I was waiting for. Well done, Mary.
We did it. Okay, so I was trying to think of a podcast name, which is not easy. It's like trying to name a band or something, you know, come up with something no one's said before. And I live in Atlanta, and one of Atlanta's early names was Terminus. And also, that's, of course, a Doctor Who story that we're talking about today. So I thought, well, that's kind of a double reference. So that's where the name came from.
Not because you particularly loved this story.
No.
You're honest.
Yeah, but a lot of people think I do, and I have gone on several podcasts to talk about it just because they're like, oh, Nicole's from Terminus, or Nicole loves Terminus. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay, well, it's the Garms. I love the Garm, you know.
Well, no, we thought more than anything was we'll get you on anyway, and it was just a really good excuse because, yeah.
Right. I mean, I think it was the last episode. Kirby's like, oh, Nicole doesn't like the recording time. Like, I'm usually not home on Sundays in the afternoon.
We've learned over many years to take no notice of what Kirby thinks.
But we're all home now.
Pandemic next time we need you on, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Start it up, get everybody sick, and then I'll be home, and, you know, and then I can record. That's how it works. And we have to talk about shows like, or episodes like this that are about plagues, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we all get to be enlightened next week.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Kirby.
Oh.
Right. So are you done, Nicole? I shall move on.
I am done.
To Mrs. COVID herself, Debbie Smarty Pants Melrose.
Every time you say that, it makes out like I'm like the only person that's managed to get away from it.
Patient zero here.
Yeah. Like you need like a sash, you know, like in America.
COVID,
you know what? Yeah. You know, when you came down the shop the other day, Debbie, I missed up a real, real opportunity for a bit of scampiness.
Oh, dear.
When you were there, should have said quite loudly, so have you got over it now, then, the COVID thing, then, Debbie? How are you feeling? And all the other customers around the tills.
Actually, I would have loved that, and I probably would have started coughing on cue. That would have caused a
all them that were hovering around the tills with their face masks only over underneath their noses and stuff like
God.
That.
What is with that? Honestly, it's pointless, for God's sake.
Yeah. Carry on.
Yeah, okay. I don't even have a vague recollection of watching this, which I must have done when this first came out, but... Yeah, I agree with Nicole about the it feels dark and appropriate for what we're going through right now, you know. And yes, it's about leprosy, and I think they very quickly sort of say, well, why is leprosy still part of the, you know, part of the galaxy or something? And then it's something about, you know, not sure what timeline is and things like that. But it's a very quick away line about it. And they're calling it Lazar as well, because it's obviously Lazarus, and it was all the Lazarus churches and colonies that would look after places, you know, after lepers in, you know, all around the world, isn't it? It's the Lazarus Church or something. I can't remember what it's called. And I just thought the panic was very appropriate for now. And but I just couldn't work out really, as I've said already, why Nyssa fell so quickly to it, and yet Tegan, who got felt up by a load of them.
I forgot about that one. Well done.
And literally, I was sat there watching it going, he just grabbed her boob. Yeah.
Maybe it's immune.
It's transmitted to people with bare arms.
Oh, fair enough. I did wonder. Uh-huh. So a light jacket should solve problems.
Yes.
Yeah, so boobs, you can't catch it if you touch someone's boobs, apparently.
No, fair enough. Okay.
But, that's probably why Nyssa had us out for most of the episode.
It was a classic, what has now become a classic example of too many people and too many companions.
Yes.
It really did feel like, oh, what we're going to do with Tegan and Turlo? Let's shove them under for the rest of this story and have them trying to work their way out, and every now and then go back to them because we've got to remind people that's where they are. And that's what it felt like for them. And we've seen a lot of that in New Who, because there's way too many people all involved in one story and it just gets a bit too much. But I think her leaving the way she did was brilliant and very reminiscent of Romana. And I just really liked the fact that she was like, actually, no, I'm more use here than on the TARDIS right now.
Yeah, well, that was true in every way.
Having herself been through it, yeah. I like that. I like the use of the music. I did think it was very atmospheric. And
they used the Nyssa theme. I forgot to mention that, didn't they, right at the end, which was really quite nice.
I've also found with the Garm, couldn't understand a word he was saying because of that. But I thought I finally met the Garm and I was like, oh, it's magic. Oh, look, it's magic. And it was just really
magic
nice.
When he's in a confused mood because his ears don't normally look like.
Finally see him and meet him, but I felt he was quite an underused character. And yes, I didn't really quite get what he was doing to heal people until towards the end, and how he was doing it reluctantly. And then the doctor just says, well, talk to him, and that's it. It's nothing else. It's like, you just go and talk to him. He'll be fine. He'll help you anyway. And it's like, well, he might not.
He might just be like, screw everybody. No.
The doctor says to him, and now rest. You can go and rest now. And then he's like, well, go and talk to him. He'll be fine. It's like, you just told him he could have time off. What? 5-minute holiday. It's like Baldrick's 6-second holiday in, you know, Blackadder Third. But I suppose it was a mess story.
Thank you.
It was a good mess story.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, tough.
You can't undo the bell.
Yeah.
Right then. So prepare yourselves, everyone.
Master,
for Christ's sake. Right, point deducted for Kirby for interrupting my introduction.
Did you just swear, Adam?
What?
Did you just swear?
I know, I said for Christ's sake. No, you've made me say it again now.
I still can't.
I went while the thought is in my head.
Yes.
There's a reason that it's like Romana's leaving.
It is.
Same author.
Oh, Stephen
Gallagher wrote Warrior's Gate.
Okay.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Those triangular shaped doodads that are in Turlough's bedroom. Is it Turlough's bedroom? Yes. It was Adric's bedroom. Are also in the Warrior's Gate as well. Are in that story. Yeah. Just sort of that, you know.
I doubt that the author had anything to do with the set decoration.
No, I'm just saying that as we're looking for repeated bits of scenery, as we've been doing since the little square things first showed up, we haven't seen them for a while. Keep your eye out for those. Right then, sorry, Mary. Somebody interrupted my introduction. So, like I said to the listeners, let's hope that we can get through this little bit. Prepare yourselves. Think of it, Mary.
Well, I have seen most of the Fifth Doctor stories, but I had never seen this one. And it occurred to me when I was going to watch it, why have I never heard anyone talk about it? Why does no one seem to reference it, you know, and, oh, favorite scenes from this, or, oh, favorite lines from this? Nobody says anything ever about Terminus. Mm-hmm. And so I was very curious, why is this, you know, like the unknown, unspoken of story? And then I found out. I'll have to say my opinion can be stated in my saying that I was so happy to see this story over with. Tegan and Turlough are sidelined for the entire episode. The fight scenes are totally limp and ineffectual.
That's what she said. Oh, sorry.
People are running about in corridors, and the scenes take place in rooms that all look like the same room, and I suspect that they are always the same room. People know things that they have no way of finding out. Not once does the Doctor ever make mention of his ship to the pirate lady, Colin Baker's wife. And then she refers to it as the TARDIS. And I'm thinking,
yeah, what? I noticed that.
Where did that come from?
Yes, very good point, Matt. I did actually hear that, but I thought I might have missed an earlier reference.
But that happens throughout the story. It's like people just kind of state things. It's like, well, how do you know that? Where did you learn that? We have characters that are shambling around without any energy or sense of urgency. Nyssa knows about the hydromel thing just by holding the tube and tilting it back and forth, which I find a very scientific way to know, you know, the chemical construct of something, and that she knows she can reproduce it. And so I'm thinking the only thing of interest seems to be how many clothes Nyssa can remove during the course of the story. I think that held more young boys' interests, you know, than anything else going on. However, I can understand why nobody ever gets back to this story. And I'm glad that Nicole told me her reasons for naming her podcast.
She didn't judge me.
But an interesting idea it does bring up. And that is the notion that the Terminus doing its fuel ejection caused the Big Bang, which started all of life. If anybody remembers the TV remake of Battlestar Galactica, where they put out the idea that everything that's happening has happened before and is going to happen again. So I thought to myself when I heard this thing about the Big Bang, and okay, so it might destroy what's there, but maybe that will be the spark that starts it all over again, you know. So we've got, you know, what you're living, you're going to live again, and it's been lived before, because this Big Bang is going to happen again and again. So that little bit of, you know, that's about all I took away from it, was that interesting little nugget. But boy, the whole story was a real snoozer.
I thought you did a Peppa Pig impression then. I thought the whole story was Peppa Pig, but it was really. Laurie Nick says, I'll pour one lump or two.
Oh, is that the tea?
Yeah.
Yes.
Master?
Yes.
I think you're aware that there is a website that has all of the scripts for all of Doctor Who out there.
Probably, but not
Chakotea.net. So I went out there, found the script for Terminus, and the Doctor does mention the TARDIS to the space pirate, Colin Baker's wife, before she says the TARDIS back to him.
Hey, thank you for that.
He says that's the wave pattern, the TARDIS home.
It was
home
that
canon,
important.
So.
It was that important.
Well, yes, it was, because a couple of minutes ago,
I'd forgotten
you were
about
wondering.
Thank you. Right then. Okay, is that it? We're done. We can move on to feedback.
Pew!
So, Kirby, you posted a request for feedback, which...
we also need to go back for the previous podcast, because we had some feedback come in that...
Okay.
Too late.
But if you allow me to finish what I was saying, we'll do that. It's just I just wanted to pick up on a bit of comedy from Jeff Waddle, who's on fire comedy-wise at the moment, obviously where he's been locked in a house for quite a few weeks. His comedy brain is going over and over and generating copious quantities of comedy. Your original request obviously didn't get any responses for quite a while, and Jeff Waddle said the lack of comments says it all. I thought that was hilarious. Right then, so go back to your previous thread while I turn my lights on. Alexa, front room light on.
Okay.
My Alexa just asked if you meant Knox, which is one of my lights.
Shut up and get on with it.
Hang on, let me find it. Okay, it's Robert Wince Jr. This is 2 weeks ago when we were doing Modern.
Yeah.
I like Time Lords and their history. This was a Time Lord who was trying to extend his life with unlimited regenerations, thereby releasing a virus that prevents Tegan and Nyssa from going forward or backward in time.
Until you don't have to say it fast, Kirby. You can say it.
Until the Doctor helped them with their death. Plus, adding the past and present Brigadier, you get an average to above average story. 3.5 out of 5. By the way, the story of the Black Guardian with this actor and the adding of Turlo was okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
More?
That was that. Now go back to this week's. Or we have a lot of comments.
He's getting faster and faster each time
he reads. Yeah, that's funny. He doesn't do his own talking like that, does he? Is it, I don't know. It does my head in. It really does.
And while we had no comments, I decided to be pedantic.
That's unusual.
And as I was watching the other day with the info text on, there was a note saying that the costume designer was influenced in the look of the Garm by a extraterrestrial in a book called Wayne Barlow's Guide to Extraterrestrials. I happen to have that book, so I looked it up, and I posted a picture of that alien. It's from Alan D. Foster's Ice Rigger. It's called a Tron. T-R-A-N, but pronounced Tron.
Okay. You can come back to make cups of tea now.
Jeff Waddle then said a Tran means something else nowadays.
Carry on. Are we still on? Which episode
Jeff Waddle
on
also said, I'd rather watch a train standing in the station for 2 hours than this tripe. So I posted a picture of me in front of a train in a station in Chattanooga.
Oh, God.
Alan T. Butcher said, totally missold story. Watch this from end to end, and there is not a train in sight. Terminus. Jefferson Lee Ng, Nyssa strips down at least as far as acceptable for the BBC TV during the Thatcher era. Also, Turlo and Tegan are persona non grata. Jeff says, what's different this time? Alan T. Butcher says, not only is Time Lash not the worst of stories, it is not even the worst story with an 8-letter title starting with T. And I responded, it has been closely studied, you know. Adam Master says, I was expecting Jeff to post this screenshot.
Yes, that's the Nyssa legs akimbo shot, yes. That I was referring to. Anyway, carry on.
Jeff also posts a picture of the Terminus, which is a pub on the Isle of Wight.
An old pub that doesn't exist anymore, but yes.
And you work at Terminus Road, okay.
Yes.
So is there a train there?
It used to be. So our store is on the site. It has a blue plaque on it, on the building. It says location of Cowes Railway Station. And it was there for about 100 odd years, until 1966.
Well, you can't go much further north on the island, can you?
No.
Not really without falling in the sea. No.
Yes.
We can
Robert
go for,
Wince Jr. says,
to Debbie's place of work. That's slightly further north. Carry on.
Robert Wince Jr. says, the whole story is about leprosy and false cure for it. Convenient way to drop off Nyssa, one less companion. Heading towards the end of Peter's run, we lose more and more. We lose more and gain full body Perry. Like I said in a past post, the story was... What?
Not quite yet. Carry on.
Like I said in a past post, the story was boring until Nyssa started stripping down. I guess Nyssa was cured but stayed behind to help the other. More Black Guardian threats and hiding in the floor with Tegan. Some of the story I found hard to understand. Maybe Mary understood it more than me. Too long for me, 2.5 out of 5.
Yes.
And then he reminds me to read his Modern Undead comment.
Did you do that?
Jeff says, this was at the time when we didn't have video, so this was still the time when we had to go out. The best we could do was tape the program, cassettes, look it up, folks. I thought one of the episodes ended with Nyssa saying, we're on a leopard ship. And I saw the picture of the big dog in Doctor Who Monthly or Weekly and wondered why the H they were on about calling magic a leopard. Very confusing. Alan T. Butcher says, this was a time when we did have videos. The best we could do was tape over it with something worthwhile. I have a feeling that his closely studied commentary is going to be interesting this week. Neil James says, Terminus, the sets are good and the mysterious appearing skull designs are very eerie. Carrie and Oliver were the most unbelievable space pirates I've ever seen. Dominic's guard's performance is pretty woeful, but Lisa Goddard works well alongside the doc. Peter Davison continues to have chemistry with everyone put in front of him. He's a fantastic actor. Not sure about that massive dog, but the robot is pretty cool. The four actors playing the veneer are all really good, despite their rattling costumes and the depressing story. Nyssa's famous striptease is weird, but very welcome.
That's strange.
What
noise.
Is that noise?
That's guy who does my lawn is
I always watch with the updated CGI effects on. I keep forgetting that these discs have the updated CGI. A bad and drab story for Sarah Sutton to go out on. She will be missed. I always struggle to enjoy Terminus. Too gray and joyless. 2 stars out of 5.
Oh, that many, huh?
Alan T. Butcher says, the sets are not at least from A Song for Europe. That's positive. Remember the Arc of Infinity. No, was it Arc of Infinity? No, it was one of the previous stories had sets that were borrowed from A Song for Europe.
They
missed a trick with the useless space pirates here. Perfect opportunity to get hold of Gordon Gostolo for a return of Milo Clancy and get some color in this show.
Mm.
Can someone tell me what that means?
Which bit?
Hold of Gordon Gostolo for return of Milo Clancy, what?
Clancy was from the space pirates, as I referred to. The chap with the tash and the big nose reminded me of Clancy from the space pirates.
Laurie Nix says... yawn.
Not oh, well, so do apologize, Laurie. Oh, you're talking about Terminus. Sorry, I thought we were talking about our show for a minute.
Not even the cameos from that dude in Duran Duran and that chick from Bananarama could make this remotely interesting to watch. It was a struggle to watch episode 3, so I fast-forwarded. I kept putting off episode 4 because I really didn't care. Nyssa finally got too old for her Disney image and started stripping, as they all do, but even that was boring. Still, she was the best companion in this episode. I'm so tired of the beige doctor's run.
Hey, no need for that.
The story you were looking for was Arc of Infinity.
Yes, thank you, Mary.
Alan T. Butcher says, Laurie Nix, from this point on, I reckon the beige doctor's run gets more interesting, colorful. Obvious, though, that is in relative terms.
Yes.
Laurie responds, yep, I do recall that there are a couple of good ones towards the end of his tenure. I've just never been that into him in this role, and this story was never ending, contrary to its title.
Yes.
Yeah,
I felt that way. Alan responds, no trains, never ending. The only way the story lived up to its name was probably being the last story some people bothered watching.
Don't do the next one. Thank you very much.
I know not to do the next one.
So did you do, Kirby, the there's a couple of sporadic ones from the previous posting that when you said...
Last week when I said we're doing it a week from now.
I think there was a couple of comments appeared on that, wasn't there?
Yes.
So the photo, the composite of Magic as the Garm, which was very cute. He doesn't look like that now. That's a very young Magic in that picture.
He's
very old.
Yeah, there's Magic several Magic pictures. Someone said, don't you mean Roger Delgado?
Very funny. Robert Wrench Jr. says, excuse me, but can someone please help me to get to the Muppet Show?
Yes. Jeff says, never been able to get past episode 2. My only regret is I saw episode 1. Robert Wynn said, was a little boring until Nyssa started stripping down, LOL.
Okay, right then. I think we've... oh, no, we haven't. There's still some more feedback. I nearly forgot. Sorry, I got rather carried away. Terry Miles says, hi, Adam. Sorry for the late feedback. This lockdown is keeping me too busy. Black Guardian Trilogy Part 2. I had forgotten the other TV star that I loved was in this one, Lisa Goddard, earlier married to Colin Baker. I might have mentioned that.
She? Really?
Space Pirates costume was a bit iffy. Hospital staff armor, it was a bit flimsy. Yeah, they could do one of those face shields, couldn't they? And the Garm looked like a man in a dog suit. Magic! Oh, he's not in there. The story had a few holes in it, i.e. where did the dead Lazar's bodies go, and where were the others who were cured sent? Also, what happened to Nyssa afterwards? Sorry, I liked her too much. All in all, a meh story. Thank you, Terry Mars. Thank you.
I like
very
to think she married
Terry.
The Duran Duran guy.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah, she may well have done, but I don't think so. He's too good for her. No, it's the other way around, sorry.
Like, Randomine were better looking than him, though. I mean, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely. He could have done with a little of a sort of...
could have done with a bit of Lisa Goddard's blusher.
You were going to say for a moment there. Could have done with a bit of a sort of fluorescent hair tie for his ponytail, maybe.
Oh,
very 80s. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Love the 80s.
Hello, 21 Mac Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
Hello.
Terminus by Steve Gallagher. Gallagher? A bit unfortunate that we're watching a story about Lazar's disease at this time of crisis. Don't try radiation, though.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa Goddard was famous at the time. Typical John Nathan Turner casting.
Yes.
She and the other female cast seemed to be dressed to film a 1980s pop video. Not so much one for the dads as one to give the dads a heart attack. The camera crew seemed determined to show how adorable an underdressed Nyssa can be in her farewell story.
Yes.
I thought she had uttered the cliched line, "It's so hot in here," but it was, "I feel I'm going to explode." Lots of wandering around corridors.
Yes.
And, for a change of pace, crawling through ducts. I watched this one on that website with the adverts and could not find the final episode.
Oh.
I have to rely on TARDIS Wikia and the 20 Megabyte podcast for how the ending worked out. Nyssa stays behind to improve the cure. The slaves are freed. Bye for now.
thank you, Ian. Yes, indeed. Yeah, I was saying, no, I seem to remember at the time, because spoilers were not as prolific as they are now in 1983 or whenever this story went out, that when Nyssa left, it was a bit of a surprise. I didn't expect it. And that's quite nice when you get that. It's the only thing I remember about it. I can't even speak. I remember about originally watching this story. I was quite sad that Turlo hadn't buggered off and we hadn't kept Nyssa.
So you didn't write to Sarah Seddon to say
no,
come back?
No, I was very much a Tegan fan at that stage, and very loyal to Tegan.
You were a Tegan fan.
Yeah. And I think at the time I felt that I didn't like... I found Nyssa a whiny character, a bit of a know-it-all, that she didn't really know it all, and her acting was a bit up and down. It wasn't very... consistent, whereas Janet Field's acting was bang
on. She's the Hermione Granger of this lot.
Who? Tegan or Nyssa?
Nyssa.
Nyssa.
Maybe so. I like Hermione, though. And Emma Watson can act. Right then, so we've got one last piece of feedback to come through, and Debbie's been absolutely thrilled a bit. She's been holding it back that she's got something in her inbox to impart to you.
Yes, I've got some feedback here from Alan T. Butcher. I guess the original idea tied in with Ragnarok somehow, but someone mentioned Sanskrit and it lost its way, or if that's Nissa's reaction, then turn the thermostat up. Dear 20 megabiters, Terminus is of course a closely studied expose about the exploitation by big pharmaceutical companies within healthcare services. The company controls resources supplied to the Veneer, who in turn exert control over the frontline medical staff, here represented by the GARM. The Lazars are provided with a poor standard of treatment because of the limitations created by this corporate management of the scenario, and the Doctor breaks this by freeing the frontline staff from that treadmill, and Nissa dedicates her life to provide the resources and expertise to the Veneer and the GARM to create an effective treatment and medical service. The numerous borrowings from Norse legend by the author seem to be employed cleverly to avoid having to come up with his own names and concepts, but are enigmatically unresonant with the source material. This may be to set up the fact that, though it is totally out of sync with the rest of the narrative, the Doctor may curse the day he freed the devious Garm, or as he was also known in Norse legend, Fenrir. Turlough's dilemma remains entirely unresolved here, with only the very subtle foreboding comment by the Black Guardians. He has very little choice, when you might have expected him to say he had no choice. But then that's the Black Guardian for you, subtlety personified. It should be noted that while some suggest that the Garm looks like he'd escaped from the Muppet Show onto the Doctor Who set, in fact, the Muppets were significantly more naturalistic than that. However, the Garm is of entirely obscure alien origins, and his species may all have looked like a man in a ludicrous mascot-style dog costume or something out of It's a Knockout. We also learned that in a facile misapprehension of physics on one writer's part, event one, the Big Bang, was in fact event two, having been preceded and caused by some fuel being dumped nowhere, and for no adequately explored reason, the repeat of this would destroy the universe. This kind of load of old tosh was usually the preserve for the Bristol Boys in Doctor Who, except when they did so with a style which seemed to make it work. All in all, Terminus is ambitious to the point of hubris, so maybe the legendary references should have been Greek. Unfortunately, the entirely prosaic setting and the mechanical red lever, however big, in no way lends itself to the grandiose and universal threat it is trying to make credible. I very rarely feel that music is noticeably intrusive, but this is an exception, as I suspect that without music to tell us how dramatic everything is, literally all the time, we may have realised how deadly dull it is. Even the most interestingly portrayed character is called Boar. The most impressive part of the production may well have been the budget for yellow and black hazard tape. The wrench felt at Nissa's temporary parting from the TARDIS team is commensurate with the impact she has made in her time with them. She has been a little bit like K9, even to the point where she was sometimes left in the TARDIS to recharge, but without the charisma.
Yes.
By the time she returns in the big finished story Cobweb, she'll be somewhat more interesting. My recollection of this on broadcast was that it was confusing and ridiculous. On rewatch, I think this impression was due to the poor realisation of a weak, messed up script. This story is perhaps four episodes too long because it meant waiting 2 weeks extra for enlightenment to come along. Next up, Doctor Who and the Outstanding Rack, or Nurse Gladys from Arkwright to Shipwright. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher. Mary, have you heard Cobwebs?
No, I don't think I have.
Debbie?
Yes?
You spoke over the bit where I was going to do this. Thanks for that.
Like an old lady clapping, I'm sorry.
Thanks for that. I'd did a search for that file, and just when I thought it would be a nice little thing to play over the top end of, the bottom end, sorry, of Alan T. Butcher's feedback, you spoke over it. So I'm afraid that's going to happen.
You should have given me a heads up, because you know...
How could I give you a heads up? You were talking.
Yeah, but whenever Big Finish is mentioned...
No, not having that. How about this one?
Our Big Finish expert.
That's the same.
There you go.
Master. Yeah. Oh God. Yes, with a large degree of trepidation.
Didn't I mention a while back, like half an hour ago, that it was likely Alan T. Butcher would say this is four episodes too long?
You probably did.
You may have done. Yes. I might have done, actually. To be fair, I think I did.
That's what he just said.
Thank you very much. You might have heard me saying that and then inserted it into the thing. Isn't that right, audience? Thank you very much indeed. Right then.
Debbie, you asked me about cobwebs. Have you heard cobwebs?
No, I haven't. No. Okay. Okay. Nicole, have you heard cobwebs?
I haven't, actually.
It's pretty late in the monthly releases. I haven't gotten that far yet. It's number 136, and I'm only on, like, number 86.
I did get to thinking from what Alan said about the confusing side of Terminus. It just was an engagement. But a certain cast member of current Doctor Who asked me not to talk about the most recent episode of Doctor Who because he found it too confusing, because he didn't want to talk about it, and he didn't want to be looking like it. He might have found it confusing. So that rather says it all, doesn't it, really? If somebody actually in it can't understand it. But there you go. Moving on. What was I going to say?
What most recent episode are you talking about?
Doctor Who.
It's a
science fiction fantasy TV show that's currently airing on the BBC.
What episode are you talking about?
The most recent one.
That was broadcast?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And he was in it.
All right, thank you, Kirby. I was trying to be a bit subtle there. Right then.
you were kind of obvious.
It's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. Don't be afraid. I have some fresh cards in my hand, and we have some fresh selection of jokers. I can't remember what we're doing with the jokers now. What are we doing with the jokers? Is it just doubling points?
Doubling points, or you can take them off.
People. Oh, yeah, take them off. Yes, that's good. I like that facility.
Nicole, are you familiar with this game?
I have listened to a few episodes with this, and I had a lot of dread. Today,
there's nothing to be dreaded, nothing to dread you. Debbie just wins. Yes. Just have to live with that.
Wait a second.
Cheers.
Yes, Kirby?
I mean, Debbie's awesome.
I think I have won more since we changed the format.
Yes, I thought we might say that. That's why I said Debbie wins, because I just would have... Oh, never mind. Stop interrupting. Right then, so we have... everybody has a joker each. I have a little dice in my hand, which I roll, which then selects the category for the person up on the screen as we speak. Mary is top of the list. Mary gets an orange one. What's orange? Where's my little list of what categories are categories?
Past, through, and beyond.
How do you know that?
Because I wrote it down. Told us what they were.
Oh, good, because I've lost the card. I had all that one. Well, a minute, you'll have to tell me. Oh, no, it's buried underneath one of my hard drives. Hang on. Here it is. Or was that a question? Hang on. I think this is it. Yep, I've got it.
Joker, cast, crew, and beyond.
All right, okay, this is Linda Bellingham, Mary, played the High Inquisitor in The Trial of a Time Lord, but which brand of grocery product is she famous for advertising?
My goodness, I have no idea.
I know.
Okay, well, you can't have anything.
I'm not British, excuse me.
Okay, well, first of all, we have to play this. I nearly played the wrong thing. That goes into the bonus spot, that point. But Debbie, just for fun, because you know, what is it?
Oxo.
But anyway, what we're going to do, because I'm feeling mean. I'm feeling mean that if I say, oh, what is it, just for fun, and you get it wrong, you lose a point. Yes, it was Oxo. Right. Debbie.
Yeah.
You got a pink thing, which I believe is companion.
Well, what was it? The
Oxo.
What?
Oxo.
So,
like they do like
Oxo
like,
crumbling.
Yeah, like for like gravies, yeah. and
gravy. It's gravy granules.
I'm very disappointed that the man that conveys the illusion of being an Anglophile doesn't know what Oxo is. Right then,
make gravy.
It's like instant gravy.
Well, it's more of a meat
sound
stock.
You guys kept interrupting each other, and every time you said that, it kept dropping.
Well, sorry.
Oh, dear.
We all heard ourselves.
Now you know what it's like, Kirby. Right then. Debbie.
Yes?
Your pink question is this, which is companions. Who is travelling with the Sixth Doctor when he lands on Ravalox, a planet alarmingly similar to Earth? No, I don't think there was a companion called...
Perry.
Oh, hang on. You do come up with an answer.
I said Perry.
Love the way you make out you didn't know.
She's with him the whole time.
Yeah, I was like,
what other companion is there?
Nicole.
I guess there's Mel.
Nicole, don't be scared.
Oh, yes.
You've got a green one. That's what she said. And the subject of green is monsters. So, it's this one. What historical disease did the Pterileptil plan to release into London in the Fifth Doctor story, The Visitation?
Oh, well, that was a bubonic plague. Wasn't it bubonic?
I told you not to be a plague. You should have played a joker then.
Oh.
It was indeed bubonic plague, and this is Kirby's question.
Master?
You got a green one and all. Right, your green question, which is monsters, is this. On what planet does the Doctor first encounter the Mara, the snake-like demon that possesses Tegan? So on what planet was that, Kirby? It's gone very quiet. I feel I should play.
Was the name of the episode the name of the planet?
No, the planet, dear. Not the episode. What planet was it? Oh, damn, I give it away, didn't I, by saying not the episode. He would have said the episode. He would have got it wrong. Damn.
That's right. I still don't know.
Oh, well, that's probably just as well, then. So that's a... Ooh, a half a wrong sound effect. 2 points now in the bonus pot. And does anybody know?
Offhand? No, even though we watched it last week.
No, it was Devaloka.
All right, sorry, Kirby. It was the week before.
No, the planet for the first encounter.
Yes, Kinda.
Kinda.
Yeah, Devaloka.
That was not the week before. Is like... What?
Oh, God.
Before the...
Sorry, Adam.
Right. Bonus pop question.
We watched Kinda. We discussed it in November.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You're worse than Isla.
Right, 2 points in the bonus pot for the random question. Anyone can come in for this one. Just say, I know, it's another bloody green one. Oh, jeez.
And you can play your joker as well if you...
Yes, you can play your joker and double these points, 2 points. So the question is a green one, and it is this. What were the vampire-like creatures in the Seventh Doctor story, Curse of Fenric, called?
I know. Now,
go on.
It's a joker and then the hemivores.
Yay!
It's my favorite story, so I'm like...
It's pretty good, but we don't want to say that because we haven't talked about it yet. Right, so there we go. The scores so far, after one round of questionizings. In last place, with no points each, it's Kirby and Mary. In second place with 1 point, it's Debbie. In the lead with 3 points is Nicole. And now we move on to Mary.
Hold on a minute. I thought it was 2 points in the bonus pot, and she got the points. That's four.
Yeah, that should be four.
No, yeah, it's four.
Hang on, whoa. There was 2 points in the bonus pot. She already had a point, so that's three.
And then she played a joker.
I played a joker, yeah. I'm sorry.
She did.
She's on five.
Shut up. Picking on me again.
Math is hard. Nicole's got 5 points.
Shut up. Yes, yes. Nicole has 5 points.
She only needs one more point to win the game.
There you go.
Now, can I come up with an excuse? I've got page 30. Hang on, page 37. Oh yeah, page 37 of Reese Parton's Book of Excuses. Kirby distracted me. Right, Mary.
The sound went out on OXO. That's what happened.
Mary, you've got the blue one
for 10 years now. You know,
and he's still doing it. Shut up, Mary.
Yes.
The Doctor swore on oath to Missy's body in the... I can't even read that. It's too dark. In the Quantum Fold Chamber for how many years? I'll do that again because it's really difficult to read. The Doctor swore on oath to guard Mary's body in the Quantum Fold Chamber for how many years?
Mary.
Guard Mary's body.
Guard Mary's body.
All right, Missy's body. Right,
Well, I'll guess 100.
You'll be guessing incorrectly, but it was a good guess. I have to say, it was a good guess. 1 point goes into the bonus pot. Anybody know?
Was it 1,000?
It was 1,000. Yes.
Yay!
Didn't get anything for it, but it was indeed 1,000. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
You've got a.
You don't get a point for that, though.
No, you don't. No, shut up, Kirby. Orange one, Kirby. Orange is cast, crew, and beyond.
Right.
So this is your. God, there's lots of text here for me to try and get through. It's terrible. Right. In The Seeds of Doom, the character Scorby is played by an actor who was also in Only Fools and Horses, but who did he play? I've got. It's a multiple choice, but you should be able to do it without the multiple choice.
If you're British.
She is British.
You can remember the episode.
Yeah, right.
Do you want the multiple choice?
Yeah.
Right. Boyce, Trigger, Rodney, or Delboy?
Boyce.
Pretending she didn't know again. Should have played your Joker on that one.
I didn't know. I didn't want to play my Joker.
He was in virtually every blimmin' episode, you silly woman. Right then, Nicole. You have all a right. Yellow one. Yellow is episodes and stories.
Oh.
Don't worry.
I'm going to put Nicole down as quiz winner already, by
right.
the way.
Can I just say? she sounds a bit worried.
Yeah, I'm scared.
Yeah. One more point, you win, game over. Okay, so this is what it's hanging on, this question. In which city is Arachnids in the UK set?
Oh, Oh no, I'm cussed. why am I forgetting the name of it?
No idea.
It's where
they're all based.
Shut
there.
Up,
they're
Kirby.
All from there.
Yes,
it's in Yorkshire. It is. Oh my God, the name of the city just went out of my head.
You can do it.
For some reason, my brain keeps saying Manchester, and it's not Manchester. It's
Shut up, Debbie.
Oh, my God. It's where they're all from.
Yes. The pressure's mounting.
Wow. Like, I literally...
Is everybody screaming at their iPads?
I would know this at any other point, but for some reason, it is yes. literally
no.
It,
does anybody know?
Yes.
I'm sure everybody knows.
I don't
I'm sure
know.
Everybody and their dog knows.
Sheffield.
Call, I don't
yes.
know.
Sheffield.
It's awful yes. to... I should deduct a point for giving...
Come on. That's
Nicole, I should really deduct a point for giving Kirby the opportunity to use his condescending answer.
that one I should have known. I just... it was just not in my brain.
So, the people throwing their iPods around.
I've done exactly the same thing where I knew it, but I couldn't recall it.
It was like a blank in my mind.
But you're still in the lead. Don't worry. It's Kirby's question now. Kirby's going to have one of these. It's probably dropped it. Oh, what has it landed on? All three. Let's do it here. Oh, yeah. You got a purple one. That's what she said. Years and dates, Kirby.
Uh-oh.
Which year is it when the Ninth Doctor encounters Charles Dickens and the Gelf, in The Unquiet Dead? What year is it that when that episode is it's no multiple choice, so this is going to be interesting.
No multiple choice?
No.
I'm going to guess 1859.
Nope. I don't suppose anybody knows, do they? It was 1869. Very bad luck, Kirby.
Nice, though. Well done. Well,
again, we move to the situation where this could be the winning question with 2 points in the bonus pot, or it could just bring somebody into the game. And it's a yellow one. So this is everybody pipe up with... I know, if you know it. Right. Oh, my God, it's the same blimmy question as last time. Let's move on to this one. It's a yellow question. Complete the story title. Turn. Turn blank, basically. Turn.
I know.
Yes?
Yeah.
Yes, Debbie?
Left. Joker left, sorry.
Turn Joker left.
Joker left. Turn Joker left. Right, okay. Oh, dear. Turn left. Which is a bit of
Joker.
A shame. Pardon? So that therefore means that Debbie has won the quiz. What a surprise!
Debbie pulled away.
You could not You could not have got closer than that to winning, Nicole. How'd you feel?
I feel dumb about the Sheffield bit, but you know, I told you before we Yeah, I mean, before we started recording, I said like trivia. If I'm on the spot, I just can't remember things. That's why I have to take a lot of notes when I record my
Sheffield
podcast.
You won't forget Sheffield now, though, will you?
No, never. I'm gonna think on this. That'll be my last word when I die. I'll be like,
Sheffield.
I'll be like, what does that mean?
Yeah, just think on this. Debbie could have forgotten to play a joker, and you could have still been in the game.
Yeah,
I know. I was actually about to say turn left, but Debbie said she knew right as I was about to say it.
And I wasn't going to answer because I wanted you to win.
No, it's fine.
Everybody's a winner. Unbelievable. Right then. Okay, right. So,
Master.
Oh, sorry, I've ruined everyone's fun.
since you changed the format of the quiz, Debbie has now won 3 times and I won once.
Oh, never mind.
Did Mary win?
No, I haven't. Are you kidding? With trivia?
Since we changed the format of the quiz, we changed the format. The first story after the latest season series,
the finale. Yeah.
Oh, are we back?
Did you have a nice tea?
Oh, I won't be asleep tonight if I have too much tea.
No, a lot of tea.
Before, Doctor Who news. That's what I was going to do after. If there indeed there is any to. Who news, right?
Well, there's a live tweet going on right now.
Ooh. Ah, pardon?
Oh, I forgot about that.
It's the anniversary. Can you believe it's 9 years since since Elizabeth Sladen died and Sarah Jane Adventures therefore ended. 9 years.
I know.
Yeah. I remember doing an episode on that. Who did we get on for that one? Might have been Ben. But, yeah. So a brand new conclusion.
I can tell you.
What? It says here, a brand new conclusion to the Sarah Jane Adventures Farewell Sarah Jane has been written by series creator. Please come back, Russell, and stop them ruining Doctor Who. Russell T. Davis, and will be released on Sunday. Which has been released, hasn't it? Because I got sent it by Duncan Nifton.
It was like... today, wasn't it?
You haven't seen it yet, though.
No, I haven't watched it. I was going to watch it tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll have to watch that. That sounds charming. So, yeah, I'll have to watch that one. So, if you want to watch it, if you go to DoctorWhoNews.net, there is actually a link to it, but it has been shared on Russell T. Davis's Twitter, which is at Russell Davis 63, if you want to follow him on Twitter. Lost Stories, Return of the Cybermen. Big Finish have announced details about their forthcoming Lost Stories release, Return of the Cybermen, due to be released in January 2021. The unmade story was written by Jerry Davis for the Fourth Doctor's first season, but after heavy rewriting by script editor Robert Holmes, it eventually transformed into the broadcast story Revenge of the Cybermen. Now realised in its original form, the story will star Tom Baker, reprise his role as the Fourth Doctor with his faithful companions Harry and Sarah. Ooh, I wonder who plays Sarah then. Oh, it's his daughter. A daughter plays Sarah. Lovely. With both actors studying along with the characters needed to be recast, the role of Sarah will be played by Elizabeth Sladen's own daughter, Sadie Miller. Oh, that's delightful. Oh. So I might have to try and get hold of that. Yeah. Yeah, well.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 53. It had you, Alicia, and Ben.
Thanks, Kirby. DWAS announces the return of the TARDIS magazine. Oh, how charming. The Doctor Who Appreciation Society, of which I've never been a member, but I felt actually the other day, for some reason, I was sort of, because you know, when you sat at home and you sat in the garden, you've got things to think about, reminisce about, I remember having a little yellow card, had the Star Trek Action Group on it with my name and a number on it, and I think I've still got that card somewhere sandwiched into one of my 5-year diaries from around the 1979 time, and I thought, I wonder if that's still going, the Star Trek Action Group, and it is, and this is the Doctor Who version.
Stag?
What?
S-T-A-G?
Yes.
Okay.
What's wrong with the Star Trek Action Group? Gone very quiet, Kirby. I used to get a very poorly typed newsletter from them quite regularly. Yes?
Well, it's the same initials as the actors group, the Screen Actors Guild.
Mm. Anyway, yes. But I just reminded me because that's what DWAS was
no,
like.
Star Trek is ST. Screen is just S.
Oh, God. Doctor Who Appreciation Society announced the return of its magazine TARDIS, last published in 2003. Of course, they've got plenty of time in their hands to write this sort of stuff now. Radio Times watch Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which is obviously a Torchwood story. What else is it? 16th of April. Big Finish, Class Volumes 3 and 4. Oh, Class. They're doing Class, everybody. I didn't even watch Class. Well, I think I watched the first one because Peter Capaldi was in it.
Ooh, I forced my way through most of them, but I think I stopped watching close to the end.
Got some good actors in it, actually, but I couldn't get engaged with it. Excuse me.
I like it.
Big Finish have released the next chapter of their Time War series, the new 4-story box set featuring the very first Gallifreyan we met in Doctor Who, i.e. Susan. And it looks like William Russell's in it as well, among others.
Wow.
Cool graphics on the cover.
Yes.
The unofficial Master Annual 2074. This is a release from Terraqueous Distributors. Again,
you've got to say Master properly. You got to go Master.
No, Master. Not that's the Master as in Master, not the Master as K9 says it.
Yes.
Doctor Who Lockdown. Sorry. Hashtag Doctor Who Lockdown, heaven sent. Next year, Doctor Who viewing organised by Doctor Who Magazine's Emily Cook takes place this evening. That will be on the 14th of April, so it's gone. And Peter Davison on his birthday. Peter Capaldi's birthday. Peter Capaldi. Heaven sent.
Never a day apart.
Now, we talk about quite regularly, myself, that Chris Chibnall is trying his hardest to ruin Doctor Who, and he's quite a hypocrite because he's the man, or then boy, who ripped into Pip and Jane Baker for their essential ruining of Doctor Who around the time in which it was shelved. But Pip Baker passed away at the age of 91, and that was posted on the 14th of April. So, again, that's pretty sad news, because I wasn't a major fan of the Pip and Jane Baker stories, they weren't all pants, just the Rani one was a bit, well, the second Rani one was a bit pants, wasn't it? But we haven't got to that one yet. What else we got here? Oh, we got a video from Arthur Darvill, who I had my picture taken with at Wales Comic Con. I'm not going to play the audio that goes with it. It's quite a lot of stuff here. Lots of stuff they're trying to put on to entertain people during the lockdown.
What's with his hair?
It's very long, isn't it? But I met him, he had a yellow bobble hat.
Isn't it long for a play or something that he was supposed to be doing? And then when obviously this all started, everybody's got, like David Tennant's
hair. Yeah, David Tennant's hair.
I don't know.
They can't cut hair.
Yeah.
When he was at Chicago TARDIS this last November, he wore the yellow stocking hat the whole time he was there.
That's he had that when I met him. He's a picture I've got of him. He's wearing my scarf. and I was just looking through these pictures. I've got Matt Smith with me holding my 11th Doctor sonic screwdriver. So I can now say that the 11th Doctor has held this sonic screwdriver. What do we have? Of course, Paul McGann has held this sonic screwdriver. So these sonic screwdrivers held by doctors, and I've just dropped it down. I know I went off on one thing, but I just had to make that point. The other thing, but there's quite a lot of stuff here. So I don't know how much of it I should actually talk about, but this is quite exciting. Big Finish, Torchwood, Tropical Beach Sounds and Other Relaxing Seascapes. And Sir Michael Palin appears to be. It says Big Finish have released the latest in their regular range of Torchwood audio dramas, but this time in the form of a spoken word relaxation tape narrated by the warm, expensive tones of Sir Michael Palin. How cool is that? He was in. Wow. He was one of the Pythons, by the way, Kirby. Just in case you didn't know.
I know who my Python is.
Python is Monty Python. It was a comedy sketch series from the late 60s and early 70s. They did a few movies as well. Just in case you didn't know, and I saw them at the O2 a few years ago, on stage where a light shone on an iconic man called Professor Stephen Hawking. So I saw him as well at the same time. Just sort of mention that, because you would. Right then, so that's it really for Doctor Who News. I'm quite delighted there was actually quite a lot on there to talk about. Does anybody particularly want to talk about or want to mention anything I may have missed?
Do we still have sponsors?
Oh, yeah, we've got some sponsors, whowon.co.uk. And
is that whowon.co.uk?
Nah.
Well, they can't really do much, can they? They can't. They're online, so if you can only buy your stuff online, so... whowon.co.uk if you want lots of stuff, Doctor Who memorabilia and stuff like that. Just seeing if anything is out. Yeah, got to Doctor Who magazine. So there's stuff to read there. Lots and lots of Target books and things like that, and lots of audio via CD, the old traditional things. So other than that, I can't really say much more about it. Some figures are being launched. There's a 13th Doctor figure with a red top on, the red t-shirt. I think that's the travelling forward in time one, isn't it? But yeah, the whowon.co.uk. Does that help you with that one, Kirby? And lavazi.co.uk. Yes. You don't really need them, but if you want to buy a scarf for the winter, that's a way to get it. But again, these companies can't trade other than online, like most people. So yeah. Does that cover the sponsors for you, Kirby?
Yes. Well, I always have to say the one thing.
You do? Oh, I'm not getting cross at you yet. I mean, at Kirby. Right, I just wanted to move on to other things, because obviously with being at home and that, we are watching a lot of things. Now, I did sort of try to digest your scathing comments about Picard final episode, and I just found it quite interesting that the next episode I watched of Star Trek Next Generation, as seemed to happen during that period of watching Picard, I was watching Star Trek Next Generation episodes that related to the episodes of Picard I was watching. There's a flashback during that series of him, and it's not a spoiler, really, remembering being Lacutus of Borg, and then that story came up, where he is Lacutus of Borg.
That's a great story.
It is, and brilliantly acted all around, and so is the next subsequent few episodes where he's recovering and he goes back to Earth to see his family and stuff like that. It's really, really good stuff and needs to be watched again. It's why that sort of part of Star Trek is still continuing. But what else was I going to say? It's brilliant. It's really worth watching. That's all I'm going to say. So I totally go against what you said. Netflix was released.
No, I liked Picard except for the last episode.
Yes, but that was really good, the last episode.
No, it was predictable.
It was good. Right then.
I just watched the last of the Star Wars movies last night, and it was predictable, too.
Yeah. Well, I'm not talking about that. I also watched a series called Tiger King, which is sort of eye-opening. Rather addictive, has to be said. It's very difficult watching just the one episode and then leaving the next one to the next day. So we ended up watching two episodes at a time. So anybody who hasn't seen Tiger King,
I love memes, but it does not appeal to me, unfortunately.
No, I'm not interested in it.
It's really interesting. Just saying it is. But if you don't like tigers or anything like that, then it probably won't be interesting to you. But it's... very good series.
And the weird thing is, a few months ago, I went to one of those private tiger zoos.
You did?
Basically had a private visit there. It was when I took Fred to a furry convention.
Did you cuddle any tiger cubs?
No. Oh. No, they didn't allow that at this place. This was Tigers for Tomorrow in Alabama.
Oh, okay. But anyway, it's a really good series. What else have we watched? There's a British comedy series I was unaware of until recently called Friday Night Dinner.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Rather, rather hilarious.
Did you see the new Red Dwarf?
No, because I want to watch all the old ones, and I want to sort of, but I've stopped watching them. So
you know, Isla's not even a third of the way through all the old ones, but we let her watch the new one, and it was brilliant. So yeah.
I did watch a film. Me and Isabel, I don't know if I talked about it on the last show, called Jexy, on Amazon Prime. That's worth watching. It's a bit smutty, but it's hilarious. Hello.
How do you spell Jexy?
I'm looking it up. it's not a sci-fi. It's just it's a raucous comedy. It's a bit on the sort of you remember that film? Another one of my favourite movies with Adam Sandler. Is it?
Spell.
Click. Have you ever seen that film?
Spell the film name for us.
Jexy. J E X I. I love Click. It's so good. I don't know if you've seen that one.
Well, it must be free on your Amazon Prime. It's $6 on our Amazon Prime.
What is?
Yeah.
Oh, it's free on Amazon. Yeah. But no, it's a brilliant film. It's only 1 hour 20 minutes long, which is hilarious. And I think it doesn't need to be any longer because you'll probably end up dying laughing. It's just that funny. And the other, of course, I'll say it's of the same sort of comedic. Degree as Click is. Have you seen Click? Anybody? Mm-hmm. Hello? No.
That's the one where he
gets
got
a remote control that controls his life. Yeah. This is, he gets a phone. This chap gets a phone that controls his life. Similar, but no time traveling. It's so funny. Anyway, what else have we been watching? Lots and lots of stuff on. Lots of Marvel movies. On Disney Plus, and a bit disappointed they haven't got the Spider-Man films on there, obviously for contractual reasons, and they haven't got the Incredible Hulk on there for contractual reasons because we can't watch them. But having watched a few Duffers recently, that Deb fell asleep, a couple of the Captain America films that Deb fell asleep on. We watched Captain America: Civil War, which was really, really good.
She fell asleep.
Pardon? She fell asleep. She fell asleep in the second of the Captain America films.
The soldier.
Yeah, Winter Soldier. Yeah. I thought it was okay. But yeah, they're all quite good. I'm quite enjoying those. But we're a bit all over the place because she wanted to watch Iron Man 1, 2, and 3, which, of course, when you put them up against where the timeline or where the Avengers is, sort of a bit all over the place. And then she wanted to watch Thor and then the second Thor film, which again goes past.
No, there's a proper order to
the Avengers movie 1, and then now we've watched Captain America, which is after the Avengers 2 movie. You know,
there's a story.
I know, but you if
there are 22 of them, and you're going to watch them all in order.
Yes. No, it's exactly. Yes, we can't though, because without the Incredible Hulk
right now.
Without Incredible Hulk and Spider-Man movies, we can't actually do that.
All the Indiana Jones, they were on iPlayer.
Were they?
Yeah.
Did they have to ask you, Debbie, before we finish the show, sorry, Nicole, the Indiana Jones film, the first one, the Temple of Doom one. Now, my favourite scene is that, where Indy approaches a sword-swivelling maniac and just shoots him.
Yeah, is that dysentery.
Is that scene still in the film?
Yes, it is, because, he had dysentery and they decided to keep it in. And then they make use of it again in the second film and in the third film.
No.
Because he smirks in the second film when someone comes at him with two people come at him with swords, and he smirks, goes for his gun, hasn't got it, has to run off. And then in the third film, which we watched last night, he manages to shoot four people coming at him with knives with one bullet.
Okay, so no spoilers for that, ladies and gentlemen, no spoilers. Yes, Kirby. Yes.
If you want to see a really weird coincidence, actually, there's a movie from 1954 called Secret of the Incas, which is basically an Indiana Jones movie. That's where they got his costume, because the main character in that is dressed exactly the same, and it's just bizarrely like an Indiana Jones movie. Let me see who starred in it.
Well, while you're doing that, Neil James says, very excited for Lighterman next week. There are two versions on the DVD. My advice is to stick to the original four parts. The special edition loses the gorgeous model work on the ships. I agree with that, because I actually tried to watch the special edition, which is a movie version of Enlightenment, and I didn't manage to get through it. So, yes, I would advise watching Enlightenment in the four episodic parts. All right, Kirby?
Secret of the Incas is a 1954 adventure film starring Charlton Heston as adventurer Harry Steele on the trail of an ancient Incan artifact. The film is often credited as the inspiration for Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Ah, okay, thank you for that.
And we have scared you off, Nicole, from coming on again?
No.
Don't lie.
What?
I've got some other stuff here that came through on the video feed I couldn't see for some reason or other. Terry Marr said he got burnt. Oh, that's an old one. Forget that one. No. It's really weird that Facebook doesn't actually put up all the comments when you want to read them. So I apologise to anybody who's posted anything that I haven't actually said. It's Facebook's fault and Kirby's as well, because Kirby is the resident scapegoat.
Are you refreshing your page? Because that'll bring up the new ones.
Oh, will it? Won't it just stop the video? Oh, I'm a bit worried now. If I refresh it and stop the video, I don't want to be doing that. Let's do it on here. Right, I'm refreshing the page where the feed is being shown, and it has no new comments.
Yes, new ones, okay. But that usually brings up new ones if you have them.
Okay, thank you. Right, so next week we'll be, is it next week? Next time, we'll say next time, just so she
must be obeyed. Do you not know? Do you not have permission or what?
Don't worry, Kirby, by leaving it like
this. Never know what happens when it comes to a Sunday evening. How, if she's in a really bad mood, it might get vetoed. We just have to keep her in a good mood. So, yes.
Any sort of plan for the 26th?
Yeah, that's what I'm aiming for and what I'm hoping for and what I plan to do. But like I said, it all depends on the powers that be.
Yeah, it but well, and then with this quarantining continuing on, we can more reliably depend on you being here instead of out doing wedding photography.
Yeah, but a lot, it also rather depends on whether Deb wants to sit down and watch a film with me where she's home all the time and bored stiff and likes to have a bit of company.
Yeah. Have you had any cancellations of your photography?
Yes. Yeah. Some have postponed till next year and a couple have cancelled altogether. So,
but hey, what my do? Garden's looking terrific.
I've got stuff in my garden I never would have had under other different circumstances. Lavender plants.
We managed to grow a lawn in lockdown.
Seedling kits. Uh-huh. What else have we got out there? Yeah, that's about it really. Like a compost is another thing I've never sort of bought before. Yeah, Wes is really going off on a tangent. I'm trying to finish this story.
Oh, are we?
Yeah, so Enlightenment, as of next week.
I think typical of the lockdown, we're just wittering away now.
Should Nicole join us next week?
Nicole is welcome to join us if she hasn't been completely and utterly traumatised by the whole experience.
I'm only traumatised by the Sheffield thing, okay? No. I will definitely have to check my schedule because, sometimes...
Your schedule, well, as
my
in...
My wife does want to hang
isolation,
out.
Isolation.
Well, we know you're going to be home.
Yeah, that is true. That is one thing.
Time being in lockdown.
Yeah.
It's just if I have time to watch the episode this week.
Well, most people's idea of lockdown is walking around and going to parks and runs and down the beach and they're taking dogs out for very, very long walks that are not longer than a half hour stated.
Last 3 weeks.
Yeah, my wife was appalled when she went to the grocery the other day and she was basically the only person with a mask.
Yeah, that happened to mine too.
Yes. What can you? Well, lots of people come in with the masks, just and with scarves over their faces and all sorts of comedic things.
Scarves over the face thing is rather interesting.
Yeah, I was other self-service tools, I'm constantly cleaning the screens on every use and the pin pads and stuff like that. And I was just, excuse me, sir, I've got to clean that screen. Oh, don't worry, I've got gloves on, he said. So I've got to clean it anyway, thank you.
I'm going to clean it, sorry. Hang on for 5 seconds.
Where's your gloves bin, mate? No.
You might not want to know.
Yeah, exactly. Right then, that's it then. So fingers crossed. Keep those fingers crossed, listeners and viewers. We'll be back same time, same place next week. But until then, thank you for listening, watching, taking part in the show. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye.
Bye.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.